Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we do want to walk in the light, and one way to walk in the light is to recognize the joy that is inside of us. We're focusing in on joy this morning. A couple of years ago, I got into a conversation with a man that lived in Sweet Home, and he was explaining the good fortune that he came into pretty much by accident. You see, he and his family decided to buy some property outside in Sweet Home, kind of in the boonies where no one else lived all that much. And they wanted to spread out and kind of be on their own. This is how the good fortune came into the story. As they were building their property, they discovered that they had built on an artesian well. It was on their property. Now, for those of you who know what an artesian well is, I want to just get everyone on the same page. This is a well that bubbles up deep from inside the earth and gives an unending supply of water. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to pump. It just comes up, and it is a great thing to discover. And for this man, it was a great source. It actually increased the property of his land immensely when he discovered this artesian well. But then he went on to share with me that this actually created a lot of envy and jealousy with those that lived right around him. Because you see, the people that lived right around him, they too bought property, except for whatever reason, they didn't have access to that artesian well. They had to pump, they had to work extra hard to get any kind of water, and they couldn't count on water just bubbling up so that they could irrigate their property and have endless supply. Well, I want you to think about that opening scenario here, that story, a true story. Wouldn't it be great if spiritually we had an artesian well, a spiritual artesian well? What I mean by that is something deep inside of us that bubbled up and gave us contentment no matter what happened in life, that would give us an endless supply of contentment and just being okay about things. Something deep inside. I really liked how Brad gave the children's message this morning and pointed out that this deep artesian well of spirituality is not happiness. You see, friends, that is the only thing this world can offer, is happiness. Happiness is here today and gone tomorrow, as we saw up here with the seasons. It's here for one season, then it goes away. Happiness is a very surface-level experience. Happiness is watching the Beavers play a basketball game and seeing them win, but then the next game has to come. It doesn't last very long. Happiness does not carry over in life circumstances. We need an artesian well that is deep inside of us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, that, my friends, the artesian well of spirituality in all religions, is joy. And there's no better place to find it than Jesus Christ. Thinking about this idea of joy, we could almost say that Christianity and being a follower of Jesus, that is the one word that traces through the life of Jesus in the Gospels more than any other. When the angel comes and announces that Jesus is going to be born, remember the words that the angel said, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Then when Jesus ministered in his life here on this earth, he looked for people who didn't have joy, who had lost whatever it was in life, didn't have purpose or goal, loneliness on the side of society. And Jesus' goal was to restore that artesian well of joy that would bubble up inside of them. Then towards the end of his life, Jesus in John 16, as he left his disciples, purposely said these words, "I have said these words to you so that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may remain full." Joy is that artesian well that Jesus gives. Contentment deep within us. But we need to be careful here to make sure we understand what joy is. Joy doesn't mean that sorrow and tragedy, that doesn't happen in life. Remember this definition. Joy overlaps sorrow. I'll repeat it. Joy overlaps sorrow. It doesn't mean sorrow doesn't happen in life. To give a clear idea of how this is taught, Jesus himself teaches about joy, and he says this in John 16:21. He compares pregnancy to talk about how joy works. In John 16, verse 21, Jesus says, at that time when a woman is about ready to give birth, she's in pain, for the time has come. But then when the baby comes, that pain disappears, and she receives an unending joy, Jesus says. It was interesting this morning when we talked in our gathering here this morning that when I talked about joy, the first three responses that people gave were the giving of birth to a child or a grandchild. That is a powerful experience. But you know what? It's very painful. It's a painful experience. Men don't understand that, do we? It's a joke I've heard before, and I think I've shared it before. If men were the ones who would give birth, it'd be much different. Medical leave would not be 3 months, it would be 2 years. And the number one health crisis in the United States would be morning sickness. It's a wonderful thing that women give birth, isn't it? And we're thankful for how they go through all the pain to give forth that child. But what a beautiful experience it is when that child comes. There's unending joy. Picture when you had your child or your grandchild in your hands. You did, for the very first time, you didn't say this, "You're going to bring me heartache and miss curfews and take away money from my wallet." I hope no parent or grandchild ever says that. And no good parent or grandchild says that. They hold their child for the very first time and think of the unending joy of graduations and first steps and a source that just comes and brings contentment deep inside of us. That's the joy Jesus has to offer. It's deep, it lasts, and it overlaps sorrow. It doesn't mean that sorrow doesn't happen. You know, also just another great point that I want to make sure that every single one of you understands this morning. See, as Christians, you have bought and purchased property on that artesian well. You've done it. You have it. And the great news is that everyone around you in the community and in the world around us is jealous and envious of you. Good job, everybody. You bought property on the right location. Artesian well of joy. Think about it this way. Jay Gould went for happiness in the 19th century. He shot for happiness through wealth, and he got it by the railroad industry that he expanded himself, and he got it through stock exchange purchases and maneuvering his way. But at the end of life, he definitely got happiness, but Jay Gould would have given anything to have what you have, brothers and sisters in Christ. At the end of his life, Gould said, "I am the most miserable person on earth." Alexander the Great said the same thing too. Conquering many worlds and nations by the age of 25, 20 cities were named after him. What he went after was happiness. Alexander the Great would have loved to bought property where you have placed yourself. Because at the end of his life, he went into a tent and cried, "There are no more nations, no more lands that I can conquer." Happiness doesn't last. You got to be planted on the artesian well of joy. And you've been planted there, all of you. That's good news. With an artesian well, the great advantage of having that is that there's a deep source that bubbles up and freely gives the water. Friends, you have that source as well spiritually that bubbles up and allows you to overlap all your sorrow. This is very important to understand. You know, on a cold day like this, I want you to imagine where this source of joy comes from. On a cold day like this, if we were out of town and there was a river that we wanted to cross and it was frozen over, just a show of hands here, if it was a river that was frozen over, I want to see how many risk takers we have here at Peace Lutheran. How many people would go across a frozen over river with no hesitation. How many people would do that? Not too many. All right. Carol would. Carol's also said she'd jump out of an airplane and parachute. She's our risk taker here at Peace. Friends, I think most of us would be a little hesitant in that kind of scenario. We might be very hesitant and wonder how thick the ice is. We might get down on all fours, hands, legs, to kind of distribute our weight to go across very carefully across that river. Well, there's one little scenario that would change your hesitancy, and I think we all would raise our hands. What if, standing on the side of the river, you saw someone else go in front of you who was two times larger than you and walk across without any kind of hesitation and with joy on their face? Now, how many people would cross that river if they saw that person go across? Okay, we got a lot more hands. Good. Thank you for playing along with my scenario. Friends, that's Jesus. That's what Jesus has done. That's the Christian teaching of having a Savior. Jesus crossed all the dangerous and treacherous things of life. Betrayal, loneliness, famine, sword, and he faced death. And you know what? He crossed every single one of them without hesitation, and even death he faced with joy on his face. But for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, the book of Hebrews says. Isn't that a great feeling to know that someone's crossed all the hardship and difficulty in life? It gives us a little bit of joy. We don't have to hesitate in life. As Jesus left his disciples, he said this, very important words in the Gospel of John. He said, I'm going to leave you, and the next time I see you, you will have unending joy. Direct quote. Jesus left, he died on the cross, and he came back. In his resurrected body, and those same disciples saw Jesus. And it was an unending sense of joy. And it didn't mean that sorrow and difficulty would come in their life. In fact, I'd argue their sorrow and difficulty went way up higher with all the followers and disciples of Jesus. But this is what the resurrected Christ meant for his followers. It meant that they had an unending access, unending supply of joy in their life that would overlap all the sorrow and the challenge. Same is true for you. Being a Christian doesn't mean we don't have sorrow or grief. In fact, I'm going to make the argument that Christians actually have more sorrow and grief. And in fact, this, we can even express, we can be more open about our sorrow and grief because you have been planted on the artesian well of spirituality, joy. You have access to that joy that can overcome all your sorrow. Grief and pain last for a while. Joy is permanent, deep, and lasts forever. Psalm 30, verse 5 puts it this way. Weeping may tarry through the night. In other words, weeping and crying will last for a short period. Joy, how does it end? Joy comes in the morning. What that means is joy lasts forever. Joy creeps up on us. You know, a piano player doesn't... We could ask Bryson and Colleen, well, probably they learned it perfectly, how to become an expert piano player. It doesn't happen overnight. It kind of creeps up on you, and then all of a sudden the scales, ultimately you're able to play Beethoven. Just playing scales, you develop it. Joy is the same way. It creeps up on you. It takes hold in your heart. It creeps up, and then all of a sudden it overflows, and you have unlimited access. In your sorrow and pain, know that you've also been given that artesian well, access to it. You're the envy of the world. Let that joy bubble up and overflow no matter what you experience. Amen. And we're going to sing about that joy with our sermon hymn this morning. And actually, I'd also note in our Lord's Supper, as we take the body and blood of Jesus today as well, pay attention to the words of the hymns that we have. They also highlight this theme of joy and the artesian well of spirituality. We join together in singing the The trees of the field will clap their hands.